All right. You get to the park, you meet Detective Peterson and Mr. Barber. What happens next? They explained the basic situation to me, that the victim had already been identified as Benjamin Rifkin, and they walked me through the park to the actual scene of the homicide. What did you see when you got there? The perimeter of the area was already taped off. The ME and crime scene services technicians had not arrived at the location yet. There was a photographer from the local police there taking pictures. The victim was still lying on the ground, the body with nothing much around it. Basically, they froze the scene when they got there to preserve it. Could you actually see the body? Yes. Could you describe the position of the body when you first saw it? The victim was lying on a hill with the head at the lower end and the feet farther up the hill. It was twisted so the head was looking up toward the sky and the bottom half of the body and the legs were on its side. What did you do next? I approached the body with Detective Peterson and Mr. Barber. Detective Peterson was showing me details about the scene. What was he showing you? At the top of the hill, near the trail, there was a good deal of blood on the ground, cast-off blood. I saw a number of droplets that were quite small, less than an inch in diameter. There were also a few larger stains that appeared to be what is called contact smears. These were on the leaves. What is a contact smear? It's when a surface with wet blood contacts another surface and the blood transfers. It leaves a stain. Describe the contact smears. They were farther down the hill. There were several. They were several inches long at first, and as you went farther down the hill, they became thicker and longer, more blood. Now, I understand that you are not a criminalist, but did you form any impressions at the time or theories about what this blood evidence suggested? Yes, I did. It looked like the homicide had taken place near the trail, where there were blood drops that had fallen. Then the body fell or was pushed down the side of the hill, causing it to slide on its stomach, leaving the long contact smears of blood on the leaves. All right, so having formed this theory, what did you do next? I went down and inspected the body. What did you see? It had three wounds across the chest. It was a little difficult to see because the front of the body was soaked in blood, the victim's shirt. There was also quite a bit of blood around the body where it had apparently been draining out of these wounds. Was there anything unusual about those bloodstains, the pooled blood around the body? Yes, there were some molded prints, shoe prints, and other impressions in the blood, meaning someone had stepped in the wet blood and left a print in it, like a mold. What did you conclude from those molded shoe prints? Obviously, someone had stood or knelt beside the body soon after the murder, while the blood was still wet enough to take the impression. Were you aware of the jogger, Paula Gianetto, who discovered the body? Yes, I was. How did that figure in your thinking about the molded prints? I thought she might have left them, but I could not be sure. What else did you conclude? Well, there was quite a bit of blood that had been cast off during the attack. It had sprayed and also been smeared. I did not know how the attacker might have been standing, but I figured from the position of the wounds on the victim's chest that he was probably standing right in front of him. So I figured the person we were looking for might have some blood on him. He might also have a weapon, although a knife is small and pretty easy to dispose of. But the blood was the big thing. It was a reasonably messy scene.